Dag.
Welcome to Brutal Brunch with your hosts Matt Moore and Matt Mastermorrow.
What do any of you know about being brutal?
Featuring Massachusetts metal and punk.
Those lyrics about hell, demons, and doom. What if I told you it's all real?
WMFO Medford.
Fuck the prime time, bitch!
Welcome back. We are here. We made it back.
Agabah.
Second week of our latest resurrection.
Oh, I feel so sick.
Perfect.
I'm
perfect
not
for you folks.
Sick on the microphone. Sick in my mind.
Oh, just like
twisted.
The people you're telling me off air. We'll get to because it's now officially
it's spooky season.
Halloween season.
Hell yeah, dude.
The best season of all. So we are Brutal Brunch here on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. Numbers here are 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. Have your questions, anything like that. We got metal history today. We got black metal song of the week.
You know we do.
So very quickly, we have about six scheduled shows left in 2019.
That's right.
Which means it's time to take a look back at the years that were.
2010 to 2020.
Yes.
Or 20XX, as Mega Man would tell us.
There you go. That's exactly it.
When Dr. Wily will certainly kill us with robots.
How's that not happening yet?
I don't know. I mean, it's happening.
But yeah, so we're gonna move things along so we can take a look back at both 2010 today and 2011. Get some songs, get some good albums from back in the day.
Very frightening.
When I was like not into death metal yet. So
very frightening that we've been in the 2010s now for 10 years.
That's very true.
I was at work and someone was like, "Oh, 2008, like 6 years ago," and I'm like, "Oh no, buddy, that's 11 years ago."
Mm-hmm. But before we get into all that, we got some brand new music from local faves Carnivora. Their first studio recording, at least, featuring Haiti on vocals. And here you go. This is Bog Dweller. New stuff from Carnivora here on Brutal Brunch.
Down in the mud, but you don't want to breathe. I heard you say you're
As humans, we ask ourselves all kinds of questions. But what if we were forced to ask ourselves a question every day that affected the outcome of the most basic things, the most important things in our lives? The question is, what is your sexual orientation or gender identity? And the answer is the difference between keeping your job or getting fired. The answer is the difference between staying in your home or getting evicted. The answer is the difference between receiving medical treatment or not. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against people based on their answer to this question. LGBT Americans have the right to say, "I do," but they don't have the same basic rights as everyone else. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to you, Brit Brunch here on WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. Like I said, we're going back. Things are breaking.
What the hell?
They're going back to 2010 there. That was Rob Zombie of Hellbilly Deluxe 2.
Incredible.
Virgin Witch. Before that, we heard Carnivora, the latest from those guys.
Ugh.
And gals. That was Bog Dweller.
the thing that I was watching let me know. It's like when I watched in college, what we did was a couple friends of mine, we looked up all the old kung fu movies that the Wu-Tang Clan would put in their albums, and it was like very...
Oh, the audio drops.
Like all the audio drops. Yep. I'm like, aha, this is where the guy says chess boxing or whatever. And the last night I was watching... I don't know if we want to do a horror segment now, if we want to do more music.
Why don't we wait? We'll do this between years.
We'll tease that. Teaser. It let me know what all the weird horror things that Rob Zombie puts in his songs came from.
I know. It's amazing what you can learn from these things.
Yes.
So, like I said, why don't we do Metal History now?
I love it. Because
you have Black Metal Song of the Week this time. Prepare Black Metal Song of the Week.
I love it.
From the year 2010.
It is from 2010.
You know? And just stand by for one moment so we can do this.
This Week in Metal History.
It's me, Metal History. October 6th to the 13th. This Week in Metal History. Looking through this last night, it's... sometimes there's repeats, you know? And I always try to look for a new spin on like what's going on. And sometimes I skip stuff, like Behemoth had a song that came out in 2014, which technically would have been allowed for my rules that I made up in my mind.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But Nurgle's just being a weird old man, and he needs to...
He's playing the both sides card, right? With Antifa?
I don't even know what he said. I tried to read the quote. Have you read what he said? It makes no sense.
I kind of skimmed it, but I think it was
English.
During...
I can't parse the grammar of what he said.
Yeah. I think it was during game four, so it was like, there was a lot of stuff happening. I was trying to skim the quote. But he basically was saying that, yes, the right wing are fascists, but also Antifa is fascist because they impose their views upon others. It's one of those nonsense both sides.
A classic, they're the left guy, they're telling me how to think. And I'm like, I don't think they're, no. Anyhow, whatever.
Just don't wear an iron cross and they won't ruin your concert.
Just chill out, Nurgle. We knew he was bad though because he didn't like baby metal. Remember that?
That's right. He was on. Canceled.
No, he's canceled in my book.
That was cancel. What's it called? Probation.
He was on cancel probation because it was like he hated them. But then what was it? I think Immortal was like very good. Love this.
And then they posed with Dimmu Borgir, right?
Yeah, they posed with Dimmu Borgir. All right. Anyway, October 7th, 1986. Speaking of things that come out all the time. Slayer, Rain in Blood. What do you do? I guess I play like not Rain in Blood is I guess how I would play this.
Isn't that one okay? You can't play the Angel song with it.
You can't play Angel of Death anymore. This is Altar of Sacrifice, which is... I mean, it's... It sounds like all these songs.
Definitely Slayer.
Okay. Then, following that, because I lost my place.
Oh, no.
We got Suffocation, okay. And they released the album Effigy of the Forgotten, which was their debut album and is also a tribute album to a friend of theirs from another metal band at the time. Many people say that the song Liege of Inveracity, which what I think would mean someone who lies, a liege of lying. Inveracity is a really weird way to say okay. Liar. So this came out October 8th, 91. Many people have credited this song as being the first slam riff. And ooh. I'm going to ask you a question. Nope. Which is, does it slam? Hang on, you'll hear it slam soon.
It's pretty slammy.
Hang on, you'll hear the slam thing though. Like, if I let it play, like, two more seconds, it'll do the, like, like the...
Okay, yeah.
There, it slams. It slams. That's all there is to it. When you do that, it slams. When you do the... And then the rest of the song kicks in, that slam, as far as I'm concerned. I'm the authority. October 8th, 1988, Bathory releases Blood, Fire, Death. This is a fine day to die.
What year was this?
1988.
So this was just after like their original. This is when they kind of started to drift into like non-black metal.
This is when they became more Viking metal. this song, A Fine Day to Die, is the lyrics to The Yellow King, which was a book, or there's a book, was a series of stories written in like the 1800s. And printings of the book, people would say, like, ooh, if you read the Yellow King, if you read it, it'll drive you insane. Like, you know, what's his face? The guy from Rhode Island. I forget his name. Literally every time I try to bring him up. Every single time, Cthulhu. Who wrote
it? H.P. Lovecraft.
H.P. Lovecraft. Every single time.
You know what? I visited his grave this last weekend.
Very nice. I went to that H.P. Lovecraft store a couple months ago, a month or so ago.
I went there as well.
And it was a Lovecraft, wasn't it like Lovecraft, what do they call it, Necronomicon? Wasn't that last week or 2 weeks
ago? Yeah, it's every year.
Did you go to that?
No.
A lot of spooky ladies there for you to talk to, I bet. Anyway, this is a good song. I kind of like this. It's a little bit slower. The rest of the album is more like you said, more like Viking metal stuff. Yeah. Like we're on a ship, we're raiding, we're doing stuff.
The Bathory dude is pretty interesting.
There you go. Mm-hmm. All right.
Part of the first wave of black metal.
First wave. October 9th, 2000. Do you know what comes out? Do you know what comes out? Do you know what happens? Ooh. It's Hammerfall!
I should have got...
Well, Renegade!
I don't know why I didn't say Hammerfall or...
A Creator.
A Creator, yeah.
Because guess what? Creator's also on this list. October 9th, 2000, Hammerfall, Renegade. This is Way of the Warrior. As usual, Joachim, would you say? I'm not...
Joachim?
I'm not...
I don't know how they pronounce
it. I'm not that type of white. I'm the other type of white. Incredible. I want to... When I'm Joachim's age, which I believe is ageless, I want to be able to do backflips.
I mean, they literally look dead and, like, just doing backflips. And...
But they're very healthy, you know? Maybe they just, like, live a healthy
lifestyle. Well, they are Swedish, so, you know,
they have good health care.
Nordic lifestyle.
Yeah, they got good health care. They're eating a lot of fish, a lot of grain. Keep yourself healthy.
I don't think his voice has changed.
Look. We say a lot of jokes in this show, but one of the things we say that's not a joke is that Hammerfall is cool. I like those guys. They seem good. That everything they have is very fun.
I think that was one of the... this would have been back like 2008. I think that was one of the first times we discovered our overlap in musical interest was via Facebook. And yes. I did like a year in review post 1 year, and I mentioned Hammerfall.
And I was like, thumbs up to this. Yeah, that's basically how the show started. October 10th.
Back in 2007, 2008.
91. Benediction. British heavy metal band. Death metal band. Mm-hmm. Releases the album The Grand Leveler. Sounds like you would expect from a band from this era. I really wanted to find out what The Grand Leveler is because I had a feeling that it had something to do with the Freemasons, and I literally couldn't find anything about it, which is just evidence that it is from the Freemasons.
Yeah, it's secret.
And their damn secret society. Oh, we missed somebody. Matt, we missed Madball. How did you let me miss Madball?
Oh.
For the hardcore kids.
I know.
For the hardcore kids. We got Madball.
They got their mesh shorts on and hoodies. And
Put on your mesh shorts. It's October 9th, 90. We got Confuerza with Force from Madball, the album Empire. And it's in Spanish because all the other songs on this album have filthy words. And I couldn't play more than 1 second of the Madball without just being like 4 seconds, like a minute of silence. But I could do this, because not only is it in Spanish, but he doesn't swear in Spanish. That's a really good song. If I was a professional boxer, that would be in the top running for one of my walkout songs. Confuerza.
They're still around.
They're still doing it. I mean, them, the Cro-Mag. I mean, like...
Saw the Cro-Mags this summer.
Speaking of people who live healthy lifestyles...
And what's his name? John Joseph. Took a face plant.
Oh, no. Oh, that's right. Is he all
right? Oh, he popped right back up, of course, because he got that vegan power.
I was watching... I think I've said this before. He did something on, like, Vice, like, YouTube, where it was, like, this... It was a really interesting series. It was basically, like, what do different kind of people eat? It was really, like, different athletes, really. So, like, it was, like, a sumo wrestler, then a ballerina. Like, that's where I found, like, Brian Shaw... Like, strongman, he's like, I eat 9 pounds of steak every day. And I'm like, okay, dude. And John Joseph was like, I'm a vegan and I do ultra marathons now and I eat all this weird stuff, you know. So Maggie's like, I really like that guy. What band is he in? I'm like, oh, this. And she's like, I don't like this. So she just like follows him like separate from his music for being like a nice guy. Now let's close it out this week with, as far as I'm concerned, a classic. As expected, October 13th, 85, Creator released their debut album.
I was 5 months old.
I was...
6 months old.
I was one. They released the album Endless Pain. And this is Son of Evil off of Endless Pain. That's going to do it for this week of Metal History. I have a black metal song of the week.
So I don't have a concert calendar at the moment for this week.
Hell yeah.
Because, yeah, like I said, we're looking in review. Love it. Love it. This is going to carry us into a little conversation before we get to Black Metal Song of the Week. But yes. So, 2010, because we're going to play, we'll get to your Black Metal song.
Wait,
and we'll play
this
a couple.
This is not a good song to have one in the background. Joachim, save us.
Okay. I mean, we got Hammerfall coming in the background.
I know this double Hammerfall in the background.
There you go.
There you go, double Hammerfall.
All right, so 2010, some quick musical highlights. Do you remember what you were doing in 2010, by the way? What were you doing in 2010?
Graduating law school.
Ah.
Working at a very small personal injury firm.
There you go.
Chasing ambulances.
Well, it's funny because I think I'm going to have to play. So after Black Metal Song, we'll play a couple more from 2010. We'll talk about horror, and then we'll close things out with 2011. But 2010, another bonding experience was 4 Years Strong.
That's right.
Released Enemy of the World.
Ooh.
And so that was their big... I guess the album before that might have been their breakout album, but I don't know. Enemy of the World would like put them into the spotlight.
Yeah.
And then we saw, I think, was that 2010? We saw them in concert with Bad Religion?
Yes.
And heard the story about, yeah, there was an injury at a previous 4 Years Strong concert.
And heard the story about how everyone we know went to high school with them.
Yes, I know.
Like Maggie with the John like Norbit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and weren't friends with them. No. They were like, I don't like these guys. I'm like, what? This is great. I like these guys.
That was the first time.
That was when Norbit's like, I don't know. I don't know.
Norbit must be a blast. If he's not listening to us, he's listening to Papa
Roach.
Like,
honestly, Doherty High School, right? Because it's them
Doherty,
and...
4 Years Strong, Doherty High.
And Bury Your Dead.
Mm-hmm. He was featured on one of their first singles.
The backing, the backing band for Jada
He produced,
Smith's,
I believe, their...
Wicked
yeah. Oh, man.
Sorry, I'm a little sick today.
No, that's... And then Bring Me the Horizon, that was, like, their big kind of breakthrough.
True.
Year.
Yeah, I think Muhammad was... pushing that hard.
Oh,
was,
yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah. That was when, like, Muhammad's like, this is my top 100, it's 99 pop songs, and then Bring Me the Horizon because they got played on BBC Radio or whatever. Fear Factory, that was the first time I ever listened to a Fear Factory album, was 2010.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, you were late to the party.
And it was also my first Devil Wears Prada experience, which we may play because it's, like, nice and Halloween themed.
I think
they released their zombie EP.
Okay.
I think I might play that because there's lots of sound effects in that song. Anyway, we'll see how much time we have.
I would like to focus this Halloween season on building my Halloween metal play. Like my, it's not metal exclusively, obviously, mm-hmm. but it's just like spooky songs and not necessarily the Monster Mash, although it's on there, of course.
Well, you got it. This year, I mean.
What do you classify as spooky if you're trying to make a spooky song?
And it's just like the atmosphere. So, like, there's a lot of Children of Bodom songs. I mean, obviously, they're singing about dark things most of the time, but, like, when they use their synth, like, some of their songs sound like
John
Nightmare
Carpenter.
On Elm Street, kind of.
Yes, I agree. I was looking for that, and I was also getting into spooky folk music, and an album came out last year, and I got to think of the artist. But the name of the album was just called Halloween 2, which is very funny. But it's basically, like, spooky folk music. Anyway. Excuse me. 2010, what a time. What a time to
the
be alive.
Last time the Rays won the AL East, 2010.
Can you believe it? How are they doing?
Better than the Red Sox.
How are the Rays doing right now?
Better than the Red Sox.
I mean, you're not wrong.
It's like Donley shook my hand this morning. He congratulated me on his way out.
God, what a good guy. Like, I can't believe he remembers it. This guy likes the Devil Rays. Like, unbelievable.
All right, you want to do Black Metal Song of the Week? Yes.
Black Metal Song of the Week. Folks, when Matt told me that we were going to be counting down the best of the tens, if you will, and he said, you know what? You've got to find a song from 2010. And I said, not a problem. And I went on the internet and I looked up every black metal album that was released in 2010. And then I hit Control F, Rotting Christ, and found Aiello. And I have a little bit on ILO if I could find it. I mean, it's not a surprise. ILO is obviously about religion in some way because it's, you know, I just want to read it because it's very good. Okay. Vocalist Sakis Tolis says ILO is the transcription of the ancient Greek word Epsilon Alpha Alpha Omega into the Latin alphabet. It means thrashing, catastrophe, or destruction, and reflects the musical and lyrical content of the album. This is Santa Muerte off ILO, Black Metal Song of the Week.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Brutal Brunch here on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. You just heard 4 Years Strong. That was What the Hell is a Gigawatt off of Enemy of the World. Before that was Escape off of the Zombie EP from The Devil Wears Prada. And we kicked off that little set with Rotting Christ, our black metal song of the week, Santa Muerte.
Incredible.
Off of ALO.
So good.
And those last, and then towards the beginning of the show, we played Rob Zombie, Virgin Witch. So all these songs, all these albums came out in 2010. Because we're doing a little retrospective here.
10 years.
Oh, I forgot to look something up while we were doing this. But you wanted to talk about, before we get into 2011 phase of the show, close things out, the last 20 minutes, you want to talk about some horror movie things.
I did. I finally saw some horror stuff. I wanted to watch horror things that weren't a movie, like a thing that where I could, where like horror things would be happening, but I could not really have to focus and I could do other stuff. So I watched two things. I watched Haunters, Art of the Scare, which is on Netflix. It's a documentary about basically about people who make haunted houses. It focuses on a number of different people. Some of the people you'll really enjoy, this is a woman, Char, I was telling you about earlier, who is just like a lot of people who do the haunted house like in their house, but put a lot of effort into it. So a lot of people do it for fun. Like really enjoyable people, and then they, you know, just like wacky, like, oh, I love doing spooks, you know, I love it. And then they have guys who you know, work at the thing at Universal, so like you get like the more like that stuff is interesting to me, like the technical aspects of like, okay, it's a spring mechanism and this, and then this actuator pops up, and then I got, you know, obviously all the costuming and all that stuff is like interesting in a way. Then they have they talked to some of the people who started doing the extreme haunted houses, which I feel like we've talked about here a little bit.
Yes.
So, like, I enjoy a haunted house because of the agreement, the tacit agreement between guest and host, which is no one's going to touch you. It's just for fun. Like, if you want it to be like, there's many things in life to be afraid of. For example, I could just put you in a bear hug. I could just walk to a stranger on the street and I could do an assault on them, and I'm certain that'd be very frightening to them. But that's not what a haunted house is. That's
right.
That's like, it's like listening to, it's like, and I don't want to discount a genre of music. It'd be like listening to the stuff we just played. It'd be like listening to Rotting Christ and being like, the thing to take away from Rotting Christ that makes them good is just being loud and then just like playing a tuba very, very loud. Like, that's not the same thing. You're not picking up the spirit of what it is. So they talked to the people from the extreme haunted houses, and I've always had an aversion to this idea. I think Rob Zombie, speaking of Rob Zombie, doesn't he own one in New York? It's called, like, Red House. Basically, the difference...
Wouldn't surprise me. I remember when they first came out, yeah, and you, like, sit in a chair and people do crazy
you
things.
You sign a release, yeah. People touch you, it's, like, hours and hours. You don't get the thing where you go through with your friends, so one person can walk in front and they go, whoa! And then the other people can hide behind you. Like, that's part of the fun. It's like you're in a house and like a guy is going to like dress in a pig mask and touch you basically. So they talked to the guy who made the first one of those, which is called Blackout, and it's in Hollywood. And when you see the man who invented Blackout, you're like, oh, of course you did. Mm-hmm. You know, because he's like a set dresser. He's like a very Hollywood guy, like a cool artsy fartsy dude is the only way I know how to describe him. And he's very professional about what he does. And the people who work in the exhibit or whatever you want to call it are professional actors. They're not just like I said, bear hugging you and throwing you on the ground, because they're actors. They like creep around you, they might like touch you, they might, you know, tear your shirt or something, but you signed a release. And very importantly, all the people who make these zany crazy haunted houses, there's a safe word and it's like banana, and then okay, all done, you know, all done, because it's for fun. It's for fun. Then they talk to the guy who's like the protagonist, essentially, of this documentary.
The antagonist.
Do you know like how like in a documentary it's about something and then you're like...
Like, I mean, you got your guy in a Fistful of Quarters.
Well, or yeah, like Billy Mitchell, where you're like, this documentary is about Steve Wiebe. I'm like, that documentary is about Billy Mitchell and you know it. Or like, remember that Anthony Weiner thing? And it was like, this is going to be about a real story about running for Democratic government, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, no, it's about you being a weirdo. So this guy, Russ McCanny, it's called McCanny Mansion. You can look it up. Mm-hmm. He's been on many shows and things because this is silly. He runs a haunted house out of his house, or at the time of this documentary, it was out of his house. I think he has different locations now.
Yes.
It was in his house.
Alabama and Tennessee now.
It's in his house. And he doesn't charge you anything. So he does a lot of things that are like very suspicious to me because I think he's trying to avoid liability.
It's allegedly, according to Wikipedia,
it's a non-profit for greyhounds, man.
The only payment he accepts is dog food. Yeah. For his dogs, to be clear.
It's for his dogs. But he also feeds you dog food as part of the exhibit. So this is a haunted house where there is no safe word, and they interview him, and the director is like, why isn't there a safe word? And he's like, why would there be a safe word? I always thought that was lame. And like all the actual professional haunted house people, theater people are like, that's crazy. And everything goes wrong, as you can imagine. He hires kids to do the scares. And the scares are literally, I'm not joking, they just like, I got you, I put you in a bear hug and I slam you on the ground.
I waterboard you.
I dump you in a trash barrel. I literally lock you in an actual coffin. And he records it. Like, he records it and he puts it on YouTube, and that's how he gets his advertising. And he's being sued many, many times for a variety of things, I would imagine. But he's just, like, a very, very unlikable person. This is my opinion. For legal purposes, I don't like him, personally. My opinion. Seems like a bad guy. My opinion. You can't watch that documentary and not be... I don't know why. I was seethingly mad at him. I've never been madder. There's a part where I was telling Matt at the end of it, kind of the finale is Russ is allowed to make his haunt at a big farm. It's like a horse farm. This woman owns a farm, and like the San Diego Building Department shows up and they're like, they figure out what he's doing and they're like, oh, absolutely not! Like, you are taking this down, sir. He's describing one of his like rides, I guess. And he's like, yeah, what it is I put you in the coffin, and then I shove you in the like a morgue drawer. There's gotta be a name for that, but I'm gonna say morgue drawer. You gotta go in the morgue drawer. He shoves you in. It's cold. It's also electrified, he says. And then what happens is he tilts it. I want to point out, this man is not an engineer. He's not even a carpenter. He's like a guy. He's just a guy. He works with a VFW, he says. But he's also like a millionaire, because he's like dropped about $500,000 on this thing,
allegedly,
so he says. Tips you back, and then you all go into a funnel and you have to fight your way through the funnel, and I'm like, are you Jigsaw? Are you
like, I was gonna say, that is
it's very Jigsaw like that's all I could think of. I'm like, huh, this is really weird that you're doing this. Anyway, I don't like that man. And the end of the finale is you see these two big guys. I describe them to Matt as basically the Briscoes, but fat, just like big death metal looking guys. And they're excited to go to the haunted mansion. And one of them is literally getting waterboarded and I believe has a heart attack and like passes out. Very frightening, because I'm like, did a man die? Did I watch a man die on this goofy documentary that I was trying to watch? And really fun, like everyone else in the documentary, honestly, though, it focuses on him because he's the most unusual character, so you would have to focus on him. But everyone else, like Char, there's another like kind of like pudgy looking guy, Fieri guy, really like him. He's just doing it out of his house. He spends like $500, but does a great job. His whole family's involved, like his dad is like the chainsaw guy, like that kind of stuff I really like. Haunter's Art of the Scare, I recommend it. The other thing I watched, which I'll just go very briefly because there's really not much to say about it, it's called Mad Ron's Previews, which is also on Netflix. And it's basically just like, I think it was it came out in 87. I think it was a VHS thing. It was just like a guy who collected all these horror trailers and like, not just trailers, but like cinematic teaser stuff, like kind of like weird cinema that he just found. And he just collects them in a big package and he just throws to them. So there's like a rapper of him talk. It's very corny. It's like him talking to his like zombie puppet and he's going like, what do you know, Ron? Like it's wild. But
it's like a local access kind of show.
But yeah, it is like literally like a local access show, except for it's like they show the trailers in full, which you weren't really allowed to show some of these trailers of some of these movies at the time because they're outrageous. And a lot of nudity. I was like, you know, this would be a fun thing to have on in the background, but there's like maybe a little too much boobs and people will look at me funny. But that's legitimately fun. Fun to have on the background. And as I was saying to you earlier, in the early 2000s, I went on a quest and we tried to find out where did all the Wu-Tang drops come from. And so we went and we found all the Kung Fu movies. We raided the Shaw Brothers and Golden Circle, I think, is one of the other ones. Any Kung Fu movie that came out in the 50s and 60s. To find where did the Wu-Tang Clan get all those, like, Tiger Style, and, like, found all those movies. I have a collection of those movies, which is, like, basically all the references. So watching this was like, oh, this is where Rob Zombie got the insatiable demon with a lust for the dead. And I'm like, ah! I, like, looked up. I'm like, ah! Rob Zombie! And I was like, I don't even remember what the movie was. So you could do that, I guess. You could listen to Rob Zombie and
get all those clips. Territory, because if you look up, there's still some songs. Some of his drops are unknown. People don't know where they came from. He could have just recorded them himself. But
he could have recorded them himself. That one, I was very happy. An insatiable monster demon with a lust for the dead. I was like, oh, fantastic. So yeah, Mad Ron's previews, I very much recommend. Put it on in the background of your party as long as there's not children.
Yeah.
And as long as your friends are cool and won't be like, why are there so many boobs to this TV? Turn it off.
And speaking of horror movies, so we'll look at 2010, yep. 2011 horror movies.
I'm looking at them.
You can see them.
I spit on your grave again.
Nah, don't watch any of those movies.
I won't.
But they also remade I Spit on Your Grave and Nightmare on Elm Street the same year.
That's bad,
interesting.
Dude.
But you did have Insidious.
Okay.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Is that Piranha?
Piranha 3D.
All right.
Piranha 3D. The Crazies. A lot of remakes.
I love the Crazies.
I think this kicked off the remake whole thing, because you even had Let Me In, which is a remake of Let the Right One In.
Well, the Crazies, was 2004 was when we got the Dawn of the Dead.
Yes.
The Crazies. Did you see the remake of the Crazies?
Yes. It was good.
I really liked
Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah, I love Tim Oliphant doing anything.
And The Last Exorcism, underrated movie. Frozen, the original Frozen, made by Adam Green, where they get trapped on the ski lift.
Is there a song? Overnight. Is there a fun snowman?
Absolutely. Oh. Devil.
Yep.
Great movie. Sure. Where they tried to, M. Night Shyamalan produced it or whatever, and they tried to hide his name because he was like, people were pissed at him for like
Lady in the Water. Yeah, like after Lady in the Water came out, he's like, I'm going to hide myself.
Hatchet 2. Stakeland, these are great movies.
Stakeland is good.
Hatchet 2, I saw with my cousin in theaters in Boston. The next day, it got pulled out of theaters because there was too much blood.
Oh.
It was too bloody.
Ooh. One of the fun things about this Mad Ron's thing that you forget was in the 50s, how they would try to just come up, like, as they do in all movies, they come up with, like, weird gimmicks for stuff. And there was a movie called, like, The Maniacs. And then it was like, go to the theater. If you look around, there'll be a maniac in your theater. So they would like hire actors to like run around and go like, woo! Like, I don't know. It just seems...
The golden age.
There's no way you could do that now.
No, no.
But I was like, that's very funny that you did this.
2011, I would say not so odd. It was more the year of the sequel, like Final Destination 5, Scream 4. Scream 4 is solid.
Final Destination 5 is a good one, though.
Right? I don't think I saw it.
Isn't that the last one that wraps around?
Where it's like, yeah, I think so. Paranormal Activity 3. Okay, so like some of these years are dumb because it claims that Euronex was in 2011. I believe it may have been made in 2011, but it really wasn't released until 2013.
Right.
The Innkeepers is fantastic. Some T. West. Remake of The Thing. Or not even, it's not a remake, it's a prequel. People don't understand that. People
it
call
is a prequel.
It a remake, but
no,
it's a prequel.
They're the Swedish team or whatever.
The Norwegians.
Norwegian team. Yeah. And speaking of Final Destination, that's What's-Her-Face. She's like the star of that, right? I'll think of it eventually.
All right.
Go on.
Remake of Fright Night, which is good.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right.
R.I.P. Anton Yelchin. And Red State, which is your boy, Kevin Smith.
He is my boy. We're often confused for one another.
Kill List, which everybody loves. I don't love it. It's not that good, in my opinion. Absentia. Some Irish... No, he's not Irish. I can't remember now. But that's an interesting movie.
I'm just like looking over
and
your shoulder.
And Human Centipede 2, allegedly.
Excellent.
Came out in Quarantine 2. Cabin in the Woods, I guess that might have been when it was like first kind of put into developmental hell. Chillerama. Nice little... What's it called? Not episodic. What is it? An anthology horror.
Yep.
Hellraiser Revelations.
I think...
brutally terrible.
I think all the humans... Did you see the Human Centipede guys making a new movie?
Ugh. That's all I had to say
about
that.
It's even more twisted. He's like the Joker.
All right. We have time for like two songs, I think.
All right.
From 2011. Let me see here if we have a... if I want to go look. I would say a big album in 2011. I saw this band live in Amsterdam on my own. Actually, hold on. Let me get my notes out. Before that, so Trap Them came out with a big album that year. That was like your big local album, I would say. Children of Bodom had a follow-up. 2011 to me was very disappointing. It was like a bunch of awesome stuff in the late 2000s, 2010, and then a bunch of follow-up albums came out in 2011 that I was very not into.
Like Saw 3.
Exactly. And But an album I was into, actually, Chthonic came out with an album.
Okay.
That was one of their breakouts. They're the Taiwanese band.
Yep.
I saw them live. They were one of the openers for Arch Enemy. And I saw live in Amsterdam. So we're going to play an Arch Enemy song, and we'll go with the Children of Bodom song because it's spooky for Halloween.
Thank you.
All right.
Please respect my holiday.
Let's play Yesterday's Dead and Gone off of Chaos Legions, released in 2011 by Arch Enemy. You're listening to Brutal Brunch here at WMFO Medford. If I can do this right. Yesterday's Dead and Gone from Arch Enemy. I'm going to wrap things up with Children of Bodom. You've been listening to Brutal Brunch here at WMFO Med for 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. We'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about 2012 and 2013.
Saturday.
pussyfoot
Agaba.
Suicide.